This is a Tuesday edition of Ozarks at Large. A University of Arkansas graduate student is researching ways to help native bee populations, which are in decline, to thrive. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
PhD entomology research scientist Olivia Klein this morning checks on her array of constructed wild bee habitats. Located in a pasture on the University of Arkansas Agricultural Experimental Station.
We erected 12 of these bee cages, so they're wood frame cages. They're 8 feet by 5 feet, and then 5 feet in height. And they're covered in screens because we have to contain our bees in order to control their diet and compare. So we've got four cages that are filled with a buckwheat monoculture, just looking at, you know, an agricultural flower that is visited by bees, but no other flowering plants. And then the other eight are wildflower mixes. So we've got four cages that have a wildflower mix that's kind of marketed for honeybees, and then another wildflower mix that's just sort of a general pollinator mix.
The bees busily gather pollen and nectar from blooming Monarda and black-eyed Susan blooms. Early last month, Klein released 40 female and 20 male blue orchard bees, a common native species, into each of the 12 cages. The spacious wood-framed structures covered with window screening each contain a nest box.
So the females will, lay their eggs in the nest boxes. They've got nest tubes in there, and they'll stay in there at night, and when it's raining, they'll seek shelter in their nest. The males just sleep outside in flowers, and sometimes they'll actually kind of cluster together in a little bundle for a little extra protection. They don't actually have a structure that they live in.
Klein's investigating how access to certain forage impacts native bee welfare using blue orchard bees as her guinea pigs.
Yeah, they're a great species to work with. So they're what's called a mason bee. So they nest in these little tunnels, these tubes, and lay their eggs in kind of a series. And they then take mud to cap off their nest tube, so to try and keep predators and parasites out. So that's why they're called the mason bees, because they work with mud. But the blue orchard bee is a great one to work with because it is one of the few species of solitary bees that is commercially managed. So it is used for commercial agriculture, for mostly fruit orchards and some other vegetable and tree nut crops. So it's a wonderful commercial pollinator and a wonderful wildflower pollinator.
Klein says the blue orchard bees are calm, so she can navigate inside their large cages without fear of being stung or having to wear protective apiary regalia. But compared to wild bumblebees and honeybees, these blue orchard bees have a much shorter lifespan.
They start life as an egg, and they actually have no direct interaction with their parent. Their mother collects pollen and nectar for them and just leaves it behind. And then she's kind of seals off their little egg chamber, and that's it. They never meet their mom. But they hatch from their egg, feed on that pollen and nectar that she's left behind, and they go through their larval stages, and then they go through pupation, so they turn into a pupa, and they build a cocoon around them. And then they actually do turn into an adult, but they don't leave their cocoon yet, and they overwinter as an adult inside their cocoon. So they spend all winter long like that. And then in the springtime, when it warms up, they chew their way out of that cocoon and out of their nest tube, and then they find a mate and start the process over again. But once they emerge from their cocoon, they only live about 20 days.
Klein doesn't disturb the bee cages except to provide fresh water and remove dead forage.
So it's very important to have these flowers that are blooming at different periods, so you're getting all of the solitary bees is, like, they have plenty of flowers available when they come out. Because a problem that a lot of modern agriculture runs into, if you have a flowering crop that needs to be pollinated by bees, well, it only blooms for a couple of, you know, weeks or so. And if the bees are emerging and your crop is already almost done, they don't have enough food available to them. So that's one of the problems with a monoculture, and something that can be helped by planting wildflowers so that bees have food available for the entire duration of their activity period.
The monoculture buckwheat cages, which look rather desolate, prove that point.
Yeah, they have not done well in any of the buckwheat cages. We have, like, a couple of survivors surviving bees in one of the buckwheat cages, but we've seen almost no nesting activity, no cap tubes, which is a sign that they filled up an entire tube with eggs. So they're just not doing as well on the buckwheat. And buckwheat, it is used for honeybees. It's a good flower for honeybees. They like the nectar a lot. But I think it's possible that they just don't provide enough pollen for these blue orchard bees to reproduce successfully.
Klein will soon gather all the egg-filled bee nest boxes and store them in her lab for protection until next spring, when they'll hatch for another round of controlled observation. She plans to publish and share her results in an effort to help conserve wild bee populations, which are in decline.
We're trying to give farmers and just sort of smaller-scale gardeners the tools to help these bees out and help their populations, which can then on bring pollination to your, gardens and farms and orchards. You know, by promoting wild bee populations, a lot of these growers and gardeners can actually help themselves as well.
Farmers in particular, she says, could plant wildflower plots to encourage wild bee foraging.
Say if they've got a monoculture of canola, they can help attract and support wild pollinators and honeybees as well by putting, say, a strip of mixed wildflowers alongside their canola. And that way, all the wildflowers attract the bees, and then they kind of spill over into the agricultural fields.
But wild bees also inhabit urban areas.
Yeah, they're definitely in urban areas. And actually, some studies have indicated that they can have higher populations and more diversity in urban areas compared to really intensive agricultural areas, which tells you a little bit about sort of sometimes how our agriculture isn't so doing enough to support pollinators.
Klein says wild bees are incredibly diverse.
Most people recognize like bumblebees, fuzzy black and yellow bees, and also carpenter bees, which are the really large ones that can be a little bit of a pest because they chew into wood. But a lot of our wild bees are really teeny tiny. So you see these little bitty bees, they almost look like flies. They're so small, but you'll see like them carrying pollen on their back legs. They're very cute. And then things like our mason bees, which are about the size of a honeybee, but with the blue orchard bees, they're black or dark blue in color. So we've got an incredible diversity. It's hard to summarize them all.
Klein became interested in the welfare of bees as an undergraduate student researching honeybee decline.
I love honeybees. They're a wonderful little insect. But I just got, later on, got more interested in our native bees and some of the, they sometimes get a little overlooked. And I wanted to bring more attention to them and all the good they do for pollination. So I kind of switched over to native bees, and that's what led me to Dr. Joshi's lab.
Neil Joshi, Associate Professor of Entomology and Plant Pathology in the U of A Division of Agriculture, agreed to drop by the research site for a minute to talk. He specializes in pollinator health, fruit entomology, integrated pest management, and pesticide toxicology.
Yeah, main risk to wild bees are habitat loss and, pesticide exposure or, other agricultural practices. By developing strategies that can support pollinator health, like wild bee health, we can support their communities and enhance their population in our agroecosystem here.
We've posted a photo of Olivia Klein posing with one of her native bee test habitats, which, by the way, her father, Les Klein, helped to build, to help wild bees. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.